Well, good morning. Excuse me, and welcome back to the God School. We're in this series called My People Are Destroyed Through Lack of Knowledge. And who is knowledge but God? And this preacher is attempting, through God's word, to add to the knowledge of God's people, my people, he says, that their strength, that their faith may be strengthened. The word in Romans declares that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. We're in this series looking at a people of God, specifically called House of Israel, about whom the church seems to bristle at the thought of, through knowledge of God's word, of discovering who these people are. And it is my heart, I believe one given, I have, forget about belief, I have every confidence in the new heart that God has given me, and that doesn't mean, you know, today, although every day we are to renew the new man. That somehow, through this, through the foolishness of preaching, it says, that the God's people might come to not only know God, even more deeply, but come to know who they are. And that is, who those people that God chose through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants, that they might come to know who they are. I want to start out this morning not in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament with the Apostle Paul. I want to go to the 9th chapter, the 22nd verse. Now, Paul had a lot to say before this, and by skipping to the 22nd, I'm not dismissing the power and the truth contained in those verses before. In fact, we're going to go back even this morning. But the 22nd verse says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, and call her beloved, which was not beloved. Now, there's an awful lot to be said here. I'll start out a little bit of a way of God. It says, what if God endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Long suffering. The proclamation here is there are vessels fitted for destruction. But God, with much long suffering, didn't blot them out immediately. Yeah, I know in many people's heart, and particularly in Christians' heart, as it is in my heart, they're put up prayers or petitions to God for this total ungodliness and depravity that we see going on in this world today, which is nothing new. It's gone on from almost the beginning. Oh God, wipe them out, is the prayer. Look at these people, wipe them out. But God is long suffering because he has not finished making known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had before prepared unto glory. God hasn't finished making up his number. He's long-suffering with vessels fitted for destruction that he might make known the riches of his glory unto vessels of mercy. Even us, Paul says, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now, through these weeks, if you with long suffering have suffered me, I've been telling a story of God's people, whom he chose, whom he called out, whom he chose, that it was, as tradition has it, more than the Jews, more than the Jewish people, more people than the Jewish people, because he gave promises, principally through Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel. And these promises he gave to all his sons, not just to the sons of Judah. Paul says, not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. And then he goes on to quote a prophet, not to the house of Judah, but to the house of Israel. Now, if you asked a Jewish person, what's a Gentile? The answer is going to be anything other than a Jew. Therefore, all those other sons whom God gave a multitude of promises to and concentrated them particularly to the birth, concentrated the birthright promises particularly to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, they were not Jews, therefore they were Gentiles. And Paul knew this. And so we find another passage now in the New Testament where we have the testimony of the understanding of the difference between some people that God called, that it's not limited to the Jew, but he called not only the Jew, but the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, and the whole house of Israel. Paul opens his ninth chapter . He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself, Paul says, this truth is so important that, and he's talking about the gospel here, that I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. We're looking at God's promises. We're looking at God manifesting himself to be faithful in his promises, in all his promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in him are yea, that is Christ, and in him, amen. No doubt. Now, a verse that a lot of Christians have trouble with is the fourth verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, wherein it says, according he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I don't have a problem with that. And my hope for each and every one of you is that you come to understand. As Jesus said in John 15, I chose you, you didn't choose me. This is God. The choice is God's. And because it's his, and because he is faithful, we can continue in faith, our confidence building in faith based on God's word. Paul says, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. And my Bible has a marginal reference, which it would direct me to the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, to the 6th verse. Now, Moses is giving these folks warnings about going into the promised land. And giving these instructions, and then he blurts out as an encouragement to these people, and he says, for thou art, in the 6th verse, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of a bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The Hebrew has it, the Amen God. God doesn't doubt that what he says will come true. Oh, and for the moments of our amenness, of our no doubt in God's word, which keepeth covenant unto a thousand generations. A generation is what? 20 years? That's 20,000 years? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, these words were spoken about the middle of the 15th century before Christ. That makes it about 3,500 years ago. So we got a long way to go before, if in fact the Hebrew, it's really not specific 1,000, it's talking. Because when a blessing is given to Rebekah, it says 1,000 thousands, and it's the same. The expression is forever. But in the tradition of the church, these people whom God has chosen, they don't exist anymore. And the true foundation of a Christian is God has chosen them. But if we followed the line of traditional Christian teaching, and read the Bible without understanding and believe what the seminaries or cemeteries or all the, not all, but the vast majority of Christian teaching, that these people were cast off, then what power has the choice of God display? Because he chose a people and he cast them off. They were unfaithful. There's no question about it. But the word says, the Amen God, the faithful God who keeps covenant. And that state the state of the one who keeps covenant is righteousness, and God is righteous. And because he's righteous, I'm here, and I'm not the only voice. I don't know, but I do know of some who get bits and pieces of this truth, but I'm here to proclaim God has not cast these people off, but in fact has in these people fulfilled and is fulfilling the promises that he made in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. And that house of Israel, that house of Ephraim, Samaria, all synonymous with one another, God did not wipe them out, as some would say, because of their unfaithfulness. If God would wipe people out because of their unfaithfulness, I got to tell you something, there would be none of us left. And by God's word, we do proclaim him faithful. And though they're called the lost tribes of Israel, number one, they're not lost to God. Number two, they might be lost to most history, because God said, you know, they weren't going to be called by their name any longer. But they're not lost. God Peter says, giving additional witness to what I'm speaking of, in the second chapter of 1 Peter, I'll get to it, hang in there. Should have had it marked. I apologize for wasting your time, but I hope you know I'm not wasting your time. He says of his people, he said, but you are a chosen people. Here we got that word choice again. We find it in Ephesians 1. We find it in Deuteronomy 7. We're going to find it. We find it in John 15. We're going to find it here again in the ninth verse of 1 Peter, second chapter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, there's even a reference in my margin back to Deuteronomy 7:6. Why? Why did God do this? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The Greek is ethnos hagiom. Don't get super spiritual on me. This is, word means ethnos. God calls out of every nation, tongue, and kindred. Holy is that which is committed. God called these people to be committed to himself. A peculiar people, that means a purchased people, that means a valuable people. Why did he do all this? That ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I went to my 26 translations. And they say that you should show forth his praises. Rotherham says that the excellence you may tell forth. Moffat says that you might proclaim the wondrous deeds Another says that you might show forth the virtues. 20th century New Testament says, entrusted with the proclamation of the goodness, that you might make known, Weymouth says, the perfections, all speaking of Him, of God. That's what I'm trying to do, is tell you of the perfections, of the wonders, of the wondrous works of God. God has said, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. That's found all the way back in the 28th chapter of Genesis. This wondrous story of God's faithfulness to His people has been shut up to a time appointed. We've talked in previous lessons of the time when archaeology bursts on the scene, the beginning of the 1800s. And history through archaeology now becomes more manifest. I'm going to cut through it all. That God did not destroy the house of Israel. He did not destroy the house of Ephraim. He said He loved Ephraim freely. He chose. Same as He chose you and me. And He made them recipients of the birthright. That is, numbers, a population number, as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea, that they would possess the gates of their enemies, that no weapon formed against them would prosper. And multitude others. And as we see, even from before a rebellion took place in Egypt, that is the opening verse of the chapter of Exodus, God beginning to disperse His promised people. They culminate in the conquering of the northern kingdom, that is the house of Israel. About 720 BC, we see them carried away, set in borders, the borders of the Assyrians, in places like northwest Iran, and from there, wave after wave of these people, not called Israel any longer, but called by various and sundry names, move north and west. The full body generic name to given to them in modern history are the Celts. These people, the Celts, appear same time, same place that these so-called lost tribes disappear, and they are one and the same people. And they continue traveling north and traveling west from the places that they were settled by the Assyrians. An unconquered people. A people that warned Alexander the Great, "Don't pursue us." That warned Darius, the Persian king, not to pursue them. They couldn't be conquered. Why? Because they had no permanent home. Their home was their wagons, and they could move. They didn't have a building, excuse me, a building or a castle or anything to protect. They were constantly on the move. Darius didn't believe him. Alexander did. He went east. Darius didn't believe him. They took part and played a great part in the defeat of the Persians. And in wave after wave, tribe after tribe, called the Celts, the Celtoi, the Goths, the Visigoths, the Tuatha de Danann, the Miletians, the Hibiru, the Hibernian, the Cimri or the Kimri. They come to, at that point in time, the place furthest west. That is the British Isles. Britain, Wales, Scotland, Ireland. They come to inhabit the United States of America. It says, the reason God called these people is that you should show forth His wondrous deeds, His goodness, His perfection. And I tell you that it is not the Hebrew Bible, it's not the Greek Bible, it's not the Latin Bible, it's not the Russian, Chinese, or Spanish Bible, wherein God's wondrous works have been made known to the world. It is the English Bible. It is through the English and through America that the Bible, that which describes all of God's wondrous works, has brought that knowledge to the world. Am I yelling? Because, yes, I am, because I'm excited. And I won't be silent. I read this past week. The work of and I'm not going to name his name. It won't serve any purpose. But the work of a great pastor, I think he died a few years back, but wrote volumes upon volumes regarding God's word. And wonderful insight he gives. But he, through the tradition of men, has contributes to making the word of God void by that tradition. He called Abraham a Jew. He called Isaac a Jew. He called the Israelites Jews. Now, I'm not throwing him out like the baby with the bathwater. I only bring it up as an example. Folks, God has declared himself and his truth in his word, but the traditions of men, the God of this world, has blinded so many eyes that they won't come to the truth. And when the truth does hit some, they pervert it, and all of a sudden they find out who they are. In the world, and rather than proclaiming God's faithfulness, they want to somehow or other return to Torah and the keeping of the law. It is not by works that we are saved. This voice, though I proclaim these truths that some have grabbed hold of and perverted, the teaching stands for itself. I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and do in Christ proclaim the salvation of God through faith . I will not diminish for a moment that God does what he says. And the people that God, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, called that they might show forth his praises are principally the English-speaking people. And that is in the flesh. That is a fleshly promise. And when we see that, how much more do we give praise and glory to God who called us, who chose us in Christ. If God would do for these people he chose to, that they might show off his faithfulness, that were unfaithful, but he continued to be faithful, how much more to those of us who were before the foundation of the world chosen. In Christ, how much more confidence might we have in God our Father and Jesus Christ our Redeemer. Stay tuned. We're going to end this morning with a hymn.
It is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, not forever wilt be.
Great is thy faithfulness.
So, as the word said, by his faithfulness, and I would add, by seeing his faithfulness, we do have strength for today and right hope for tomorrow. And that's the God School for today.